I'd like to take you through the various phases of preparing a follow-up plan. I gave you 4 steps. First, set your objectives. Secondly, study your Bible. And thirdly, prepare to teach. And fourthly, think through on evaluation. I'm sure that all of you would agree that a follow-up person ought to have a consistent daily devotional life. So we have an objective now. We're going to study our Bible to see what the Bible says about the devotional life. And the Bible does talk about the devotional life. And I've picked this particular subject because I think you'll find it difficult to do your own personal study on the devotional life. However, I'd like to just share some texts with you so that you can look these texts up, study them, draw out the principles and the truth, take you through the steps of teaching these truths so that we can help a person come to the point where he has a consistent daily devotional life. Okay, what does the Bible say about the devotional life? First, it talks about a specific time set aside each day for communication with God. And we see that in verses such as Mark 1:35, where Jesus goes out to a lonely place and prays. In Daniel 6:10, we see it. Psalm 145, 1 and 2. Genesis 19:27. Genesis 24:63. Proverbs 8:30 and 34. Psalm 88:9. Exodus 16:4. Luke 5:16. In these particular passages that I gave you, it not only talks about a specific time, but it gives us some examples of people actually setting aside time to communicate with God. And also, it gives us an idea of the frequency with which we should do it. And when is the best time that we should set aside for this particular activity. Also, the Bible gives us some indication as to where. Mark 1:35 again. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 63:2. Daniel 6:10. Matthew 6:6. Psalm 33:7. And then the Bible also gives us a little bit about why we should have a devotional life. Job 23:12, for nourishment. To get to know Christ better. Philippians 3:10. For fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9. This, by the way, is a very significant verse. God has called us into fellowship with himself. Fantastic that God wants fellowship with us. But it's true. Genesis 3:9. Exodus 33:11. John 4:23. There are some promises in the Bible that are related to the devotional life. Psalm 105:4. Lamentations 3:25 and 26. Psalm 143:8. And then I'd like to give you some verses that contain principles. Psalm 119:18. Here David prays that God would open his eyes so that he might behold wondrous things out of his law. Psalm 139:23 and 24. Again, David prays that God would search and try his heart. And the way God does that is with his word. Proverbs 8:34. and Psalm 62:5. Teach us to wait on God with expectancy. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And this means we need to learn to interact with God, to be responsive to Him, and to share what's on our hearts, and to interact with God regarding these things that are on our heart and regarding the things that are on His heart, and to keep short accounts with God. Psalm 27:4 and Jeremiah 29:13 teach us that we should be wholehearted in seeking God. And it's very important that we apply ourselves at some time during the day to totally concentrating on fellowshipping with God. Psalm 42:1 and Psalm 63:1 talk about thirsting for God. Psalm 37:7 and Psalm 42:10 talk about waiting on God. Hosea 6:3 talks about striving to know God. John 4:23 tells us that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 talk about interacting with God all day long. And also regarding that matter of interacting with God all day long, I'd like to refer you also to John 15 and the illustration there of the vine and the branches. I'd like you to take those verses now and study them and organize them as to the principles that we can learn and draw out of these verses. What is God teaching? That will take us then to the next step, or the third step, and that is, how do we take this content and impart it to the new Christian in such a way that he will be motivated and desirous to have a consistent daily devotional life? That's our objective, remember, a consistent daily devotional life. Well, what I like to do is talk to the new Christian immediately about this particular subject, and if possible, immediately after he made his decision. And what I like to do, first of all, is share with him a very simple little illustration that communicates something about our relationship with Christ, and then five specific verses that will help him to understand why and how he can begin this devotional life. Okay, the illustration, what I say is something like this. Now, Joe, that you've accepted Christ, one of the things that I'd like to point out to you is that this is just the beginning. 4 years ago, I got married. At the time that we got married, my wife and I exchanged some vows, and we put rings on each other's fingers, and we made a commitment to each other. And this is what you have done in inviting Jesus Christ into your life. You have started a new relationship. Just as when I got married, I started a new relationship with Nancy, my wife. A marriage relationship. Now suppose that the moment after Pastor proclaimed us husband and wife, I shook hands with Nance and said, boy, I'm really glad for this day, and it's great being your husband. And the ceremony was terrific and all that good stuff. And said, now, I wonder, Nance, would it be possible for me to get together with you an hour or so next week and make an appointment and come back then the following week and spend an hour with her, and after that hour say, hey, look, I wonder if we could make this a weekly affair where we get together for an hour every week. Now, You don't have to be much of a marriage counselor to tell me that that's no way to carry on a marriage relationship. And, of course, I have no intention of carrying on my marriage relationship that way. I think Nancy's great. She thinks I'm great. And our objective when we got married was to become as intimate as possible. And just as the Bible says that when a man and a woman get married, they are to become one, that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted our lives to become so intimate and so intertwined that we would be one. And we want to grow in this relationship. And so that day when we celebrated our wedding, that was just a first step. And when you made this decision to accept Christ, it was just a first step. Now that you've got this relationship with Christ, what you want to do is get to know Him better and really have your life and His life intermesh so that you are one with Christ completely. And let me share with you a few passages of Scripture that are related to this. And this may amaze you, but it's true. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God says that He has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's calling for our lives is that we might have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a fantastic calling? We are able to communicate with Christ, to talk with Him, to have fellowship with Him. Let me share Psalm 5:3. Here David says, O Lord, in the morning thou dost hear my voice. In the morning I prepare sacrifice for thee and look up. Here we see that David is talking with God. And it's possible for us now that you've got this new relationship to talk with God. In Psalm 143:8, David says that in the morning, he expects to hear God's voice. Isn't that interesting? David speaks to God and God speaks to him. That's communication, isn't it? And this is exactly the privilege that we have as Christians. We can communicate with God. In Mark 8:34, it says, Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. In this particular verse, we see three things. First of all, that when we have this kind of a relationship with God, we're happy. And secondly, that we can daily do this. And thirdly, that God wants to speak to us. And then Mark 1:35, we see that Christ Himself got up early in the morning and went out to pray. Now note that three of the five verses talk about fellowship with God in the morning. One of the verses indicates that happiness results from daily contact with God. And it just seems to me that the thing that you may want to do now, Joe, is set aside 15 minutes each morning for an appointment with God. Now, what I'd like to do is explain how Joe can spend those 15 minutes. But before I do that, I want to just mention something else about those five verses. If Joe and I had time and we weren't rushed, what I would do is I'd say, Joe, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture, and I'd have him get his Bible and have him look up these passages and maybe ask him a question or two about the verses, but basically have Joe discover these truths that I've just shared from these verses for himself. Because essentially what that does is it teaches Joe, first of all, that he can get meaningful truths from the Scripture. that God can speak to him. And then when we're all through, we can say, okay, now, Joel, what has God told you? And he can list some specific things that God has told him through these five passages of Scripture. Okay, now, what's Joel going to do with the 15 minutes? Well, he's never had a quiet time before, but this is essentially what we're going to call it, a quiet time. A little time in the morning so that he can fellowship with God. I help him to come up with a plan. First of all, I tell Joel to pick a specific spot, a place, because that's what Jesus did. That's what some of the other people did. They had a specific place where they were alone, where they would be undisturbed. And so I have Joel think about a place and decide on a good spot. And then after that, I'll tell Joel to pick a time and to really get this clearly in his mind. And then thirdly, I'll tell him how to use the 15 minutes. And basically what I do is I tell him to first of all pray, and in praying to use 1 John 1:9 to confess his sins, to thank God for something, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and to pray Psalm 119:17 and 18 prior to reading the Bible. And then I'd tell him, read the Bible for 5 to 10 minutes, and maybe read 10, 15 verses, and analyze the passage, just kind of meditate over it, and then think over one specific verse, a little bit longer, that specifically talks to him. And then, thirdly, to write out what his response to what God said. And then thirdly, I suggest that he spend the last 2 to 5 minutes in prayer. First of all, pray over the verse that spoke to him. And then secondly, to pray over things that concern his life, the events of that day. And then to pray for other people that he knows. And the thing that I have found is that it's best to do it with him. And if at all possible, after I've given him these instructions, then I'll make an appointment with him the next morning so that we can have a quiet time together. Now, what we have essentially done here is we've told him why, we've showed him how, and we've gotten him started. The next thing that we want to do is keep him going. And what I've done here is I've picked out passages of Scripture that I feel will stimulate greater desire. And I've got a list of, 10 passages, and you can pick out your own list of passages. And when I feel that maybe Joe doesn't have as much desire as he should in order to be consistent and faithful in his quiet time, then what I do is I share these verses with him in one way or another. Maybe I preach them at him. Maybe I lecture to him. Maybe I have him read these verses and study them on his own and come up with ways that he can apply this to his own quiet time. Then I've got some passages of Scripture that I like to share with him that will give him greater breadth and greater depth in fellowshipping with God, to equip him for more meaningful fellowship with God. And this can help stimulate him to grow in his communication, in his fellowship with God, in his devotional life. And then I've got a list of ways that I feel I can help a young Christian develop greater skills in just the mechanics of having a quiet time, such as using a hymnal, maybe taking a few minutes to review some meaningful verses, or maybe doing a little Bible study during his quiet time, ways of varying his quiet time, how he can keep his mind from wandering, by keeping a little notepad next to him and jotting down those things that keep sidetracking him. Maybe he's sleepy, keeps falling asleep during his quiet time. And I suggest, pick up your Bible and walk around. And pray while walking or standing. I don't know too many people that fall asleep while walking. And then maybe I'll give them some hints on how to meditate on the Word and how to interact with God all day long. Also, periodically, I'll ask him to share with other people what he's getting out of his quiet time. Ask him to have quiet times with other people so that he can learn and grow. And I believe that if Joe has vital contact with God in this quiet time, that's going to be a stimulus in itself, because that fellowship with God meets his needs. It really satisfies. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's a thing that he's going to long for. And that thirst, that desire is going to be there so that he will have a consistent, daily, devotional life. And I want to be very careful also, if he's not growing in this desire, to figure out why and see if I can't eliminate those particular things that are dampening his enthusiasm, his desire for his devotional life. Now, finally, I want to think through on how I can evaluate this. And as far as the devotional life is concerned, I evaluate it by asking several questions. First, does he have a daily quiet time? Secondly, I ask myself, does he have meaningful contact with God? And the way I try to discern that is, first of all, what does he share about what God is telling him? And does he get encouraged and stimulated by his quiet times? Is it obvious that his quiet time, his fellowship with God, is really meeting needs in his life? I can see the effects of this. It was obvious to the Pharisees that the disciples had been with Jesus. And so too, when Joe is meeting with Jesus, it's obvious. There's ways of detecting this. You can see it on his countenance, just the way he smiles, the way he carries himself. You can tell that he's really meeting with God. And also, if I have quiet times with him frequently, I can tell just how meaningful his relationship is with God. And here's a real significant one, and that is, does he try to stimulate other people to have quiet times? Does he talk to other people about the devotional life? Is it something that he is obviously sold on and thinks that this would really benefit other people? Another question, does his quiet time set the tone of his day? In other words, if he has a good quiet time, does he frequently have a good day? And does he go up and down kind of with a quiet time? This is an indication that he's really meeting with God. And then, also, I want to try to evaluate whether or not he's really fellowshipping with God all through the day. Frequently, what I will do here is I'll just ask a person, hey, tell me, what interaction have you had with God since noon? And that may take him off guard for a minute, but hopefully he'll be able to tell me several significant interactions that he's had with God since noon, in the last few hours. This gives us a pretty good indication that the person has learned to interact with God. Well, I trust that this example will make it clear to you, and you'll be able, with the information that is given here, to make your own follow-up plans. And I really trust that God will use each one of you in helping other people become disciples in this matter of follow-up, that all of you will have the privilege of making many disciples.